want to be out in this.
There are a lot of people out in it today, though, and it is something we need to think about and pray about. I forgot to mention a praise this morning. Josh and Lexi are here with us today, and they're home from college for right now, but they're going to be heading back. So it's good to have you guys here this morning and worship with us. You know, usually with New Year's, our tradition at our house is the day after New Year's, trees come down. And everything associated with it, all the decorations come down. And I like to do Christmas decorations year-round. I think they're beautiful. But anyway, it comes down. And it always clicks into my mind and makes my mind say, okay, it's now time to get busy again. It's now time to say, what's this next year going to be like? And I get excited in that way. Right now, Satan's trying to put a little bit of a damper on it between the temperatures dropping and in my back. That energy is, I want to be there, and I'm going to pray for that, and I pray that energy is there. But I always get that way. It's just something that happens. It's like, okay, what are we going to do this year? And I've never known anyone, honestly, to completely keep a New Year's resolution. But they say, there's people that say they may have. But, you know, even if we keep part of it, or, you know, if we keep the part that matters, and that's to walk closer with the Lord. And then I think he'll take care of those things that are needed anyway. This morning I want to talk about God's plan for your life. It's kind of a hard subject, to be honest with you. In the world today it is, because people aren't overly interested in God's plan for their life. They want a plan for life. They want to do what they want to do. But God's specific plan, I don't know about that, God. You know, doesn't seem very fun over here, or what if I have to do this, what after that. There's something, and I mentioned this last week, and I've mentioned it quite often, but if it's God's plan, it's perfect. So why don't we want to walk in God's plan? And it's because of our old nature, of course, and it's, of course, where we come from. But if we could just finally grasp, if everyone's sitting here, I think there might be 25 of you today, which isn't a lot, but you know what? You're here for a reason, and so glad that you are. But if everyone that was here today would say, Lord, whatever your plan for my life is, let's do it. Two things are going to happen. One, he's going to respond, and two, you're going to have a better year and a better life. See, our problem isn't the politics in the world. Our problem isn't we like to blame everything, don't we? Don't we like to blame it? Don't we like to blame advertisement and television and music? Oh, this music today is so filthy. And, you know, you can't turn on the TV without seeing sex or something of that nature. The truth is, with a believer, it's about surrender. Because when we surrender to the Lord, we become a mighty warrior for him. And we infect those around us. It's an effectual thing. How many times do we see people that say, I'm going to be committed to the Lord, I'm going to do this and that, and then all of a sudden you get pulled here, you get pulled there. You do. That's what Satan does. As a pastor, I've seen this over the years so much that someone will come forward and they'll say, Pastor, I'm going to plug in. I'm going to be involved more. I love the church. I love this. And I can think of someone in particular just recently that's not here. And I knew as the minute they made that commitment that Satan was going to crank it up and try and pull them away, and they're, you know, very scarcely do I see this person anymore. And when you ask why, it's, well, I just ran into this, or I ran into that. Satan does battle with us, but God has a perfect plan. And I think that one of those things that he puts in us and indwells in us, and this is an important word, it's an extremely important word, because if you don't have this, I don't believe that you can be walking with the Lord. And it's a word called compassion. Do we have compassion for other people? Do we have compassion for the lost? We read in Matthew 9:36, that when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Do we have compassion for those people? I honestly believe this. I think that if we could get one glimpse of hell, we couldn't stop trying to reach people to see that they didn't go there. But it's one of those things that we put out of our mind because it's not something that we want to think about. I don't really want to think about it either. But I think about those people that need him. And it can be discouraging, believe me. When you're plugged into reaching people for the lost, it can be very discouraging when you don't see the outcome that you want to see, you think you can see. You know, we had our annual gift giveaway this year. We have ended up helping about 90 kids for Christmas. And then we took the dinners out and distributed them to people. And I had people say, Pastor, we need to be in church so badly. Pastor, I think I want my kids to come to church. Pastor, we're going to be at your Christmas Eve service. And I hear them talking to their spouse. It wasn't something I was walking up and pushing in the corner saying, hey, you need to come. It was they were touched and they knew. And they had a message that Saturday morning. When I gave a message, that some of them listened. But the truth is, in the society that we're in today, they aren't just naturally going to come. They may have that initial desire. We got to be willing to reach out and continue to reach. How many times, anybody ever been to a youth rally? Christian youth rally? Like where they have speakers and bands and all that. I was at one several years ago. 500 kids came forward. So many kids came forward that they called every youth pastor, leader, teacher, anywhere to go with them to the gymnasium that was in Dayton at Hare Arena. And to go into another area and talk to these kids. And we still ended up with like groups of five, and these kids are weeping and crying and doing all these things that they just wanted to repent, and they wanted the Lord in their life. They were teenagers. And one of the things that was stressed that day was, if they don't have someone, a mentor, when they leave here, they're in trouble. That takes a huge commitment, doesn't it? A lot of the outreach we do is meant to do one thing. It's meant to open the door. See, it's a door opener. But we got to reach through that door, and we got to reach the people. The hard thing is, as we come into a new year, you know, we're battling all kinds of things. Physical health, age, strength, finances, work hours, relationships in the home, all those things that come up. So do you think it's still possible to have compassion while you're going through that? Enough compassion to reach people that need the Lord. I think it is. What did our Savior have to look forward to that he was going to? He was going to a cross, wasn't he? And he knew it. But the compassion never left. In Psalm 86:15 we read, but thou, O Lord, art a God of full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenty in mercy and truth. Wouldn't you like it if somebody could say, but thou, O Stephen Whitaker, are full of compassion and gracious long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. You see, that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to be like him. Well, let's look at a few things. Gracious. It's me to be gracious. Full of grace? What? I'll let you guys read to it. I'll come back. Forgiving. Very, very much so. Very much so. You know, it's so easy when somebody burns us that we just throw them to the... I've been down that road. Have you ever said that? The old saying, once bitten, twice shy. Yeah. Truth of the matter is, we need to love people. Sometimes you've done things to people that they don't even know you did. You certainly would want that same forgiveness and compassion coming back to you. We have to be willing to forgive and be compassionate. It doesn't mean that if the person has a problem with theft that we give them a key to our house and say, anytime you want to come in, just come in. That's not what I mean. What I mean is being compassionate enough to care about that person and want them to know the Lord and Savior that you know. See, this is why I have such a problem with the workplace being a place where we don't talk about the Lord. The workplace is a place we talk about the Lord, because in the workplace, we're going to find the lost. And we need to quit worrying about us and be concerned about them, because they're the ones that need to hear it. And there's ways that you can do that without, I'm not telling you guys to get up on the table in the shop at work with a megaphone and start preaching every day. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, time after time we get some, you know, they print some really neat tracts and I'll put them out and I'll see people take those tracts and distribute them. Some of you do. But what an easy way to witness. What an opportunity and a way to do it. You know, every week when I should come back, those tracts should be gone. And we have to order it. We get, really? Pastor, what are you talking about, a New Year message? This is a New Year message. You understand? It really is. It's a message of hope and joy. It's a message for other people. You will never be happier than the day that you are literally serving the Lord. That's where the happiness comes from. Not serving yourself. Not building up my own credits. But being compassionate to those that need the Lord. Oh, do we see it? As you guys know, little kids are special on my heart. And they just break my heart when I see them without, not treated right, never seeing that love at home that they need to see. We can do something about that. Just that one little thing. You pick one little area where you can be compassionate and loving. And I can guarantee you that 2018 will be a better year than the year before. Nursing homes. Loneliest people in the world. Hey, the heat's on in them. We go to nursing homes and walk around and evangelize without getting cold this time of year. There's a positive to think about. You know, it's kind of funny how our desires change based on where we're at. 2 weeks ago, I could run around and jump up and down and say, wow, poor me. This is wrong. That's wrong. I need this. I need that. And then, you know, yesterday, all I'm saying to myself is, man, if I could just get healing back here, I'd feel great and I'd be going at it. Well, I was that way a week ago. Sometimes God needs to remind us that things can be much, much worse than they really are. And he does do that. Long suffering. What's long suffering? It's patience. It's being willing to commit to the long road. And with people, with your church body. You know, it's very easy for people to come to church and they want to lift it up. They want to feel great. And they come to church and maybe they start working with someone and they start disappointing them and they're not very long-suffering. They're impatient. And that person didn't react the way I wanted them to react. The church didn't put me in a position I'd like soon enough. All these things that happen. And then we lose, in that we lose our compassion, which comes first. And plenteous in mercy and truth. Think about those two things. Plenteous. Do you want God to have mercy on you? Do you have mercy on those that are fallen and weak, behind? Those that for some reason just can't get it. I have compassion for those children that I'm seeing growing every year. The number of them, I mean, that are starting the schools with mental IEPs because of drugs. Because of drugs. Maybe they're a baby that has that detachment syndrome because no one ever picked them up and hugged them. Now I ask my question, as these kids get older, how do you reach them? To know that Jesus loves them. And that all the problems they've had through birth and through what no fault of their own, what was done, those things one day with the Lord and Savior will be gone and they can have a beautiful life. How do you reach those kids? You see, it's not that easy. But the point is, if we go into a new year and we say, Lord, whatever this is, whatever he lays on your heart, I want to have compassion, long-suffering, and mercy and love with these people. Now, I could be real angry at a lot of people that came and took part in receiving all the Christmas things that they did and say, man, I'm not doing that again. Nobody. That's not it. The point is, they saw we were compassionate enough to do it. And they saw that people loved what they were doing. And it's because, and the only reason we have that compassion is because Christ puts it in our hearts to be compassionate. Now, what that does do, it allows me to go knock on their door and tell them, look, I'll be here at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning to pick the kids up for church. Yeah, sure, Pastor, that would be great. But see, the thing is, I got to do it. It's really easy to have good thoughts. You know, good thoughts need feet. They need to go into action. Good thoughts are easy. Sometimes we use that cop-out with people. Biggest cop-out I've ever heard. How many letters? Four words? I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. Oh, that's supposed to make them feel better. We just go on our merry way. If you tell someone you're going to pray for them, especially over social media, which there's a lot of that, you need to stop right then and there and bow your head and pray for that person. Sometimes the Lord is asking you to walk with someone, to help them. Oh, I don't have time for that. I just want to. Don't have time. What do you have time for? In this next year coming up of simplicity, did I say that? Yeah, I did, didn't I? You know, a year of simplicity. I'm talking about a year where we focus as a church on doing what's right, on being good stewards of what the Lord gives us. We have a lot of down-the-road plans we'd like to do, but I think that before the Lord's going to have any of those down-the-road plans come in, we have to trust Him and have the faith that He's going to do it, but continually take care of what we have. Why would we want to build something when there's work that needs done in this building? I don't think the Lord's going to let us do that. We need to think about who we are as a body and what we should be doing, and then do it. I know it's me sometimes. I can get ahead of myself and plan 30 things for a 24-hour day and something's going to get dropped. So maybe what I need to do is just tighten my schedule. What I mean is clean it up. Make sure I have room to do those things I was doing. Not let people down. Don't tell someone you're going to pick them up for church and then not show up. That's a killer. That's a real killer right there. We can do it. Do all of you sitting here know where your joy lies? Mine lies in knowing that if I follow the Lord, that He holds me in His hand. And no matter what happens, He's there. How can you not want to share that with people? Really? I would like you to, for a minute, understand the power of our mighty God and what He can do. Now, I want you to think about that. You're scared to death to tell Aunt Millie that you're a believer and what you know and why, and encourage her, because maybe old Aunt Millie is a lady that just hates God and is claiming to be an atheist and she's just going to blow up. I think God can handle that situation and her response. Quit being afraid. Don't be afraid at work to share your faith in a proper way, within the guidelines of your job description. Not jumping up and down on the table with a bullhorn is what I mean. There's a lot of things we can do. There's a lot of lost people out there. And there's a lot more here in town than there used to be. And it's getting, I think that there's been so many people. We had a large, large senior population when I moved to this town. And I'll tell you what, they have been dying. And younger families are moving in that don't know the Lord. I've had so many families last year say, oh, Pastor, we want to come to your church. But see, I shouldn't be the only one chasing them down. It's not necessarily chasing him either. It's just showing that compassion and love and a desire to come and hear the truth. I'm going to read a little poem that you guys will find interesting. It's called Commission. What is our Great Commission? Anybody know? Seek the lost. Give us a watchword for the hour, a thrilling word, a word of power, a battle cry, a flaming breath, to call to conquest or to death. A word to rouse the church from rest, to heed the master's highest behest. The call is given, your host to rise. The watchword is evangelize. To fallen men, a dying race, make known the gift of gospel grace. The world that now in darkness lies, O Church of Christ, evangelize. We need to be evangelizing. How do we evangelize? I think that you can share the Lord with anyone from the minute you accept him as Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit will guide you and help you. But that is no excuse to not grow in the Word and know the Word of God. Because the goal is for God to do miraculous and wonderful things through you while you're on this earth. What happens when you go to evangelize to somebody, when you want to talk to someone or be a testimony to them, and you tell them about the loving grace and of Jesus Christ and the shed blood and our sins and all that, and then they start asking questions, and you've never got past that simple part. Now, it's great that you're there and the Holy Spirit can use it. Please don't get me wrong. What I'm saying is, folks, we need to know the Word of God. We truly do. That's the reason that we have the Bible studies and Sunday school and those things, because we need to know the Word of God. I remember several years ago, a lady that I knew had been in church her entire life. She was my age. And she came up and she said, Pastor, could you get me know where I could get a good study Bible? Because there are just so many things I don't understand. And we got to talking on several different occasions. And it turned, the very simplest concepts and things of doctrine, she had no clue about, and she'd been sitting in church her entire life. But see, she had never plugged in. People many times don't know the joy of church and know how important it is to have the body and all its members working because they've never plugged in. You've got to plug into the body so you'll know these things. You know, I have people in this church, I have some friends, that if I'm having an issue that I need to deal with, and it's something that I don't really feel at the time would be, I should burden Shirley with it, I can call those people and those men and we can talk it out and go back to Scripture. Everyone needs those people. Everyone does. And folks, the internet is not the place for you to learn and grow. God uses the Holy Spirit and he uses other people. There's great stuff. Don't get me wrong. There's great messages. But it can't replace church. It can't replace the love and compassion of the body working together. It was never designed to do that. Our church is supposed to be like a family. And that's what it's supposed to be. I was looking at a magazine yesterday and I saw a funny joke in it. Pastor standing there at the pulpit. And he's looking out there and there's not a soul. He said, well, I see everybody's using the online sermons now. Because, you know, that's what we do. We put them out there. Well, why do I need to go to church? I can just do the online sermon. The truth of the matter is we need each other. We need to show those around us that we are compassionate, we are loving, we're forgiving. Because God is that way and he's placed us in our heart through salvation. And we need to continue to be that people. And we can't be afraid to reach to some of the loveliest people there are, or some of the ugliest, or some of the drunkenest, or some of the dirtiest, or some of the most vile people. And you guys know, you've seen them. They need the Lord. They need the Lord. And he does miraculous things with people. He changes lives. Do we have a desire to see people's lives change? You know the best way to feel love is to give love. Unconditionally give love. I'm going to help this person because I care about them, not because I'm going to receive anything from it. Money is great to pay bills. Don't you think it gets in the way sometimes of our happiness? I certainly think it does. You spend it and have a great time, and then you look back and feel guilty because you spent it, and maybe you spent it in the wrong way. Or something comes up that you really would like to help with, and you can't do it because you've strapped yourself to buying and having everything on earth. I don't even know that we know a concept of sharing in our own homes anymore. If we would have had a computer when I was a kid, which back then you obviously you only have a computer, you barely had a stick, a stone, and a mat to write on. If you had a computer, I'm sure the whole family would be sharing it. Now every kid has to have a computer in the room. And it goes on and on that way. Everyone has their, you know, instead of families meeting together in a central area and watching a television together, everyone has their own TV in their own room. So they just go to their bedroom and shut themselves off from the world and do these things. Why? I can give you the short answer. Because that's where Satan works best, is in the dark. There's a song when I was growing up. It's called Evil. And one of the first lines was, evil grows in cracks and holes. I think of that when I think sometimes of these bedrooms our kids retreat to. Starting at sometimes 7, 8 years old. And they're out there, they've got the electronics in front of them, the door's shut. And there's the world to begin polluting their mind. Simplicity, folks. Coming back to being a family. Something we should look forward to in the new year. Being a family. Around the table. Sharing with each other. Seems like every time the kids get a break anymore, during a break, they want to go to a friend's house and still not be with family. Important. This town, your workplace, around where you work, is your family. Well, in a sense, they're not necessarily your believer family, but they're the people you need to reach and evangelize to. Could you imagine going before the Lord and Him giving you this mass opportunity to reach people for Him? And in that final day, you're standing there, and He says, yeah, you accepted me. Wouldn't you rather hear, well done, my good and faithful servant? What about one of these people you've been around your whole life? You've never told them about the Lord, never shared the gospel. And they're standing before the Lord. And then they remember, why didn't so-and-so tell me? Huh? What if they knew that? See, I don't want to be that person. I want to stay healthy. Whew, working on that one. But we need to reach people for the Lord and know how important that is in our lives. The key thing is, it's not our portfolio. It's not what we're going to leave our kids. Sorry, kids, it's just a fact. Work it on your own. But my point being that you know, people get so caught up in things that are of the world and not of what we should be doing. We had this discussion the other day about someone leaving a bunch of money to the universities. And the universities have money. We're crying out loud. Find something the Lord can use it for and leave it there. But see, you don't have that compassion in your heart for that if you don't experience this. Why would they leave it to a true evangelistic process or a project? It's not something that they even think about. But you do. Do you not? I wish this morning was like Sunday morning. Today would be a good day to have an open discussion time. So, or Sunday evening we have that back and forth. You know, someone will stop me and say, what about this? And I wish we were doing that this morning because I really would like to know what some of your thoughts are on this coming year coming up and what you're going to do. Some of you will make huge changes, graduating from high school, going down that road. Just a lot of different changes. Some of you will be trying to finish up school or moving, or you're in a new house this year. All those kind of things. Jobs will change, and they will. You know, I look back over this church over the last year, and my word, have we had some shockers happen. You know, we've had three of us go home to be with the Lord this year that I never would have thought would happen. Things are going to happen this year, whether we know or not, or like it or not. There's things we have no control over, but God does. Now I ask you, what for the next year, are you going to consider what's important, what's really important? You know, I would go back to the days when the landscapers would all be out of business. When I was growing up, there were no landscapers. People cut the grass. Yeah. They planted flowers if they needed flowers. There's another expense that we just tie ourselves to. And there's all kinds of those. No guy in the world knows how to put in a hot water tank anymore. That's some of you guys do, a bunch of rednecks. But you can all do it. But the truth is, they can't even do it. Got to call someone in and spend $1,000 for a water tank. We're not using our hands. We're buying everything to make us feel better. And the suicide rate is off the charts. Young people and adults receiving mental treatment is off the charts. The number one drug in the world is antidepressants. What in the world are we so depressed about? Why? Because I have to go back and see this word, compassion. See, compassion was the heartbeat of our Savior's ministry. He came from a compassionate heart. He walked in compassion, boldness many times. Didn't fear a thing, but he had compassion on people. And great compassion when he went to the cross. And a wonderful compassion when he decided that we, you sitting out there, would be his voice till he returns again. Are we willing to be the voice of Christ? Do you want a better year? I want to encourage you, husbands and wives, to do something. I want you to sit down, and it's a real simple thing people probably told you before. Make out two lists, actually four lists. Make out a list of things you want to do, would like to do, things you don't want to do. Things that you're spending money on and things that maybe you shouldn't be. And just look at that. Between you, look at it. Go back and forth. And say, you know what? Okay, does line A have anything to do with affecting our walk with the Lord and where we're going to be? Does the next line honor God? Well, Pastor, we can't. Here's the one I get. Pastor, we can't honor God all the time. We have to have time for ourselves. Oh, isn't that the attitude? No, as a Christian, you're walking with the Lord. I mean, it's this. It's not this. It's this. And the Holy Spirit walks with you. So in every aspect on that list, there has to be some thought pattern of how does this serve the Lord my God? Yes. No. We do, and you know, the thing is that it's so easy to get caught up in, Shirley's been having a lot of car problems lately, and I just want to trade her car in and do something, then I think about it, and that's something we've got to sit down, and we've got to say, okay, Lord, does this make sense? I'm firmly committed that I don't like to make payments on anything anymore. I've told you guys the best way to get a raise is to pay a bill off. But the point, my point being, what are we doing for the Lord? If I do that, if I were to do that, if I were to go finance a car in an X amount of month, dollars a month, is that going to take away from something I can do for the Lord or for other people? I don't know. I think I do know, really. Can't outgive God. You can. This is not a message on giving. I'm not attacking here. It's just fact. You cannot give God. Who was the industrialist we read the book on? Name just slips. Laterna. Started out dead broke with nothing. He and his wife were living in an old cook shack on wheels when he was doing a job out west, and he said he came home one day and she had all the coffee cups and bowls turned over. She said, "Why are those turned over?" She said, "Because the dust was blowing so hard through the cracks in the walls, they were filling up the cups." But they had nothing, and they had just lost a son, their first son. And he said, "You know, the Lord has brought us through so much." He says, "For some reason, the Holy Spirit's laid it on my heart, give 90% of everything that comes in to the Lord." Now that's out there. And I don't think God's asking you to do that, but it's a good example of what God can do. Secondly, you have to have a spouse on board with that kind of thing because, you guys know, you just do. And I'm not getting into that one. But ended up being one of the richest industrialists in the world. Within a 20-year period after that, he had earth-moving equipment that he designed that to this day they're still using the power packs on and the wheels and the design and all this big heavy equipment you see everywhere. They didn't used to have that. He supplied all the heavy earth-moving stuff to Vietnam during the war and so many things he did. But you know what he did with his money? 90%. Now he's a rich industrialist and he's still giving 90%. Built Laterno College. Built missions, funded missions all over the world. Because he was willing to step out on that faith. And I'm not asking you to do that this morning. That's between you and God, whatever faith you step out on. But I will tell you this. That everyone's going to be talking about resolutions in the next couple days. And things were resolute a long time ago. When my Lord and Savior died on the cross and covered my sin and wanted me to be a joint heir with him, my kinsman redeemer finished it. And now he's just saying, walk with me. Walk with me. You want to know compassion? Walk with the greatest teacher in the world, the Lord. You'll know compassion. Something has to take that anger out of our hearts. Something has to take that mean streak out of our hearts. To where we get so angry and we form a hardened shell that we're not letting anything come in and we're not letting anything go out. There's only one thing to do it, Jesus Christ. That's it. Study to show yourselves approved. Workmen that don't need to be ashamed. Sometimes I think in churches the only time that people get actual good story Bible time is in the little kids' class. It happens in churches everywhere. It's a sad deal, and you know, I've got school teachers sitting in here. They can tell you about kids not knowing anything about the Bible at all. Nothing. They've heard the word God a few times. It's usually followed by another word. It wasn't a good one. They don't know anything about God. They've been taught that this world is, who knows what they've been taught about this world. It's anything and everything but what the truth is. Christian, I'm going to close with these words. And yes, Jay and I am closing. I'm going to close with these words. If you want to know joy this year, ask him for it. But if you're going to ask him for it, be willing to do what he calls you to do. And then you'll know true joy. Because you're where he wants you to be. The plan's laid out. He's made the plan. Are you willing to step into the master's mighty plan for your life. The Master. Not just some teacher. The Master has a plan for your life. You're willing to say, okay, I'm ready to get on board. Then you can come back to me next year. And you can say, Pastor, 2018 was the greatest year of my life. And I pray that happens to all of you. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for your love. Lord, I just thank you so much that we have you, because this is a broken world. Our families are broken and splintered. Our friendships get broken and splintered. But you're the one constant that is always there and will never change and love us to the very end. And Lord, I pray that we grasp that concept and understand that and take you wholly into our heart and lives. In your name.